Welcome to this morning's audio recording of Choral Eucharist from Belfast Cathedral for Sunday the 20th of March, the third Sunday in Lent. The preacher is the Dean and the celebrant is the Dean's vicar. When the service ends, please remember to hang up straight away.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart.
I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me.
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength.
You shall not make for yourself any idol.
God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth.
You shall not dishonour the name of the Lord your God.
You shall worship him with reverence and awe.
Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy.
Christ is risen from the dead. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth.
Together, Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. Honour your father and your mother.
Live as servants of God, honour all people, love your brothers and sisters in Christ.
You shall not commit murder.
Be reconciled to your brother and sister. Overcome evil with good.
You shall not commit adultery.
Know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit.
You shall not steal.
Be honest in all that you do and care for those in need.
You shall not be a false witness.
Let everyone speak the truth.
You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor.
Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Love your neighbor as yourself, for love is the fulfilling of the law.
Lord, have mercy on us and write all these your laws in our hearts.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Merciful Lord, grant your people grace to withstand the temptations of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and with pure hearts and minds to follow you, the only God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. The epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Beginning to read at verse 1. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them, and they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things occurred as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil as they did. Do not become idolaters as some of them did, as it is written. The people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play. We must not indulge in sexual immorality, as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in a single day. We must not put Christ to the test, as some of them did, and were destroyed by serpents. And do not complain, as some of them did, and were destroyed by the destroyer. These things happened to them to serve as an example, and they were written down to instruct us on whom the ends of the ages have come. So if you think you are standing, watch out that you do not fall. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, he will also provide the way out so that you may be able to endure it. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke. There were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig round it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when we're faced with a problem that we don't know how to solve, it's a good idea to think outside the box. What then are we to make of this morning's two scripture readings? What on earth are they about? Well, last week, if you were here, you will remember that Gillian preached about a fox, a hen, and a ball of string. This morning, I want to tell you about a cat, but not any cat. In order to work out what Jesus and St. Paul might want us to understand, I want to introduce you to Schrödinger's cat. You may or may not have heard about Schrödinger's cat, but Schrödinger's cat is one of the most famous cats of the 20th century. In 1935, the atomic physicists Edwin Schrödinger and Albert Einstein, who you will have heard of, were engaged in a scientific debate about quantum mechanics. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to go into great detail. They were researching the fundamental building blocks of the universe. They were engaged in a search for truth. But their problem was this. How can two observable scientific facts contradict each other and yet both be true at the same time? What they were grappling with was this. In quantum physics, any particular radioactive particle can be in one of two states. Either it is in an undecayed state, or, having released its energy, it's in a decayed state. But until you can measure whether any particle has decayed or not, that particle carries the possibility of being either undecayed or decayed, both at the same time. And so, in 1935, physicists proposed that until you could measure the state of the radioactive particle, you had to consider it both decayed and undecayed at the same time. Two contradictions, both considered true. And it was given a name, the Copenhagen interpretation. Now, there's a modern-day version of the Copenhagen interpretation. It's the theory of multiverses, which you may have heard of. Some people argue that there is not just one reality and one truth, but there are multiple realities and multiple truths which all exist in parallel. In this theory, multiple truths can exist and contradict each other, even when we can only observe one of those realities. Now, Schrödinger wanted to show the absurdity of the Copenhagen interpretation, and he did so with his cat. At its most basic, Schrödinger argued this. If a cat is placed inside a sealed box and you cannot see it, and its death is triggered by the release of radioactivity, you must not say, because I cannot see whether the cat is alive or dead, therefore it is both alive and dead at the same time. The Copenhagen interpretation or the multiverse theory. Schrödinger stated that truth does not depend only on what you can see or understand at one time. He said there is an absolute truth which supersedes what you can observe at any moment in time. Either something is true or it is not true. Now, why does this matter in March 2022? Well, let me remind you that for the last 2 years of the COVID pandemic, some conspiracy theorists have argued that there is no such thing as the COVID virus that has killed millions of people around the world. For others, their truth is to believe that the COVID vaccine injects microchips into your bloodstream, which allow Elon Musk or the FBI to track your movements. So if they believe that that is true, is it true? Is it true for them? Where does truth lie? And if you are willing to dismiss such conspiracy theories as absolute nonsense that no sane person on earth would believe, look at what is happening in Russia today. Vladimir Putin has justified invading Ukraine because in his version of truth, Ukraine is not a country in its own right at all. It is part of Russia. And Vladimir Putin does not tell the Russian people that he is conducting a brutal, vicious war which targets ordinary people in Ukraine by bombing residential areas, maternity hospitals, orphanages, and school bomb shelters. No. He tells the Russian population that he is conducting a special military operation to liberate the Russian speakers of Ukraine from a regime of thugs and neo-Nazis. And millions of Russians have been taken in by this parallel narrative, this parallel truth. And what is most heartbreaking of all is that those Ukrainians who have Russian family members and friends have not been able to persuade them that the absolute truth is opposite to what they are being told. That they, as Russian speakers in Ukraine, are being bombed from their cities and their lives, that their country is being leveled to the ground by the very man who claims to be their savior. It's said that truth is the first casualty of war. Schrödinger's cat tells us that truth is an absolute that lies beyond our human ability to manipulate it to suit our own propaganda or pet conspiracies. Which does take us right back to this morning's two scripture passages. The fundamental question which Jesus' disciples had asked Jesus was this: is it true that bad things happen to bad people? We very often ask the question the other way round. When something bad happens to us or to those close to us, we will say, "What have I done to deserve this? What bad thing have I done so that God is punishing me?" In today's gospel, Jesus' disciples had been told about two terrible tragedies. In the first, Pontius Pilate's Roman soldiers had slaughtered a group of Galileans who had been attending a temple sacrifice in Jerusalem. In that way, Pilate had mingled the blood of the Galileans with the blood of the temple sacrifice. As Galileans themselves, the disciples were appalled at the brutality of this massacre, but they asked Jesus this question: what had the Galileans done that was so terrible that they were killed in this horrific way? Where does truth lie? And in the second incident, 18 people in Jerusalem had been killed when a tower near the city walls had collapsed. Again, the disciples asked, what terrible thing had those 18 people done so that they died in such a horrible way? Where does truth lie? But both times, Jesus' answer to the disciples' false truth was his own absolute truth. The truth of the Son of God. Jesus answered, "You have got it wrong, my disciples. Do you think that these Galileans were any more sinful than you are? Absolutely not. And do you think that the 18 citizens of Jerusalem were any more than sinful than you are? Absolutely not. So let me tell you a parable to show you how it is," said Jesus. There was a man who planted a fig tree in his vineyard, as often happened. For 3 years, the fig tree produced no fruit at all. The man told the gardener, "Chop down that useless tree. It's taking up space that could be more usefully used for fruitful vines." "No," replied the gardener. "Give me one more year with this tree, one final chance. I will do everything I can to ensure that it fruits. I will break up the soil around its roots. I will give it plenty of manure. And then, if after all my effort, the tree still does not fruit, then chop it down." What absolute truth is Jesus giving his disciples? This is a truth that comes not from our ability to observe what seems to be happening, a fruit tree that has no fruit, but a truth from the source of truth, from God himself. And this is God's truth in the parable. God is himself the eternal gardener. God gives the fruit tree one last chance to respond to all his effort, to all his patient love, before it is too late. And remember, this is Lent. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. Jesus will face a terrible death by crucifixion. Yet to the casual observer, the truth looks like this. Jesus is a criminal who deserved to die a criminal's death. That's what they said on Good Friday. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, but he failed to escape from his Roman captors. God, his Father, let him down. That's how it appeared. Jesus called his disciples to believe in him and to follow him. Instead, they were cowards who ran away and fled at the first sign of trouble. The observable truth. But where does the deep truth lie? Is it with the first conspiracy theory that we are told? Is it in a superficial reading of the facts? Is it because bad things happen only to bad people? What then did the Ukrainians do to deserve that President Putin has unleashed a terror upon them? What have they done according to his story, according to his truth? Or is there a greater truth, an Easter truth, of God's unseen and undefeatable power, the gardener who will not give up on any of us? Is the truth that all the darkness in the whole world cannot put out the light of one small candle? That out of human death and destruction, a greater good and God's victory can still be born? The resurrection truth, that God's truth will prevail. It is, you see, Schrödinger's cat that tells us that truth cannot contradict itself. Absolute truth, God's truth, cannot be denied even in the face of contradictory evidence. Which is why we have a further truth from St. Paul, a truth to hold in the face of untruth and suffering. Paul finished the passage which we've just heard with these words, God is faithful. God will not let you be tested beyond your own strength, but with the testing, he will also provide you with a way out, God's humanitarian corridor to safety, that you will be able to endure it. When things are at their darkest, it is this promise we are to hold on to. Paul's promise of hope in God. Because sometimes thinking outside the box means rediscovering the truth that is inside the box. After all, to God be all power, glory, dominion, and authority, now and forevermore. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray to God our Father for mercy upon the Church and the world. Father, grant to the Church the spirit of sincere repentance for all her offences. Make the Church fruitful in the service of the Gospel for the salvation of all people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray that all who hold power in the world shall exercise it with mercy and compassion for those they govern, and with respect for those of other nations. Bless the labours of all who work to produce and to meet other human needs. We pray especially for international negotiation to seek a peaceful resolution to the conflict in Ukraine. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Bless us in our daily work, that it may be done to your glory and the common good. Bless those with whom we work, and all who work in our local communities. We pray for those in our cathedral family who are sick in body, mind, or spirit, at this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those who toil and see no results for what they do. Have mercy on all who have suffered from accidents, disasters, or war, and sustain those who minister to them. Bless the aid agencies working to relieve need among Ukrainian refugees, and grant safety and welcome to all who have been displaced. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for all who have come to the end of their earthly work and have been gathered into the company of the departed. In particular, we pray today for the family of Ronnie Cox in their time of grief. Bring us in our time to rest in your eternal arms, having prepared ourselves and showed repentance for our sins. Merciful Father, accept these our prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who was in every way tempted as we are, yet did not sin, by whose grace we are able to overcome all our temptations. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We, being many, are one body, for we all share in the one bread. The gifts of God for the people of God. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. Lord our God, you feed us in this life with bread from heaven, the pledge and foreshadowing of future glory. Grant that the working of this sacrament within us may bear fruit in our daily lives through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Christ, give you grace to grow in holiness, to deny yourselves and to take up your cross and follow him. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining with us for morning worship from Belfast Cathedral. Please hang up now.